The following program contains language and situations which may be offensive to some people. Everything, however, was taken directly off the air.
It's go time.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
Now or never. Here it comes.
Five.
Hey, do you wish you were happier? Well, there's an easy fix to that, and it's not simply getting into a nice bottle of Zin or a cab like I would. It's actually, well, think about this for a minute. Get naked in front of strangers.
Yes.
Apparently, that's the fix for feeling better about yourself.
Yes, legally, of course. A new study found that when people participated in nudist activities, it made them more satisfied with their bodies, and then that led them just to being more satisfied and happy with their lives overall. And the more time they were nude, the happier they were.
Well, it's freeing when you think about it. It's free and it's breezy.
It's breezy, and depending on the temperature, it can be a little bracing, a little invigorating, I guess. These researchers said the whole thing of being dissatisfied with body image, it's a serious global problem that negatively affects life satisfaction. So when you get naked in front of strangers, it helps you overcome your body image issues, and that basically translates to a happier life. And, you know, I think things, for a long time there's been advertising, and now we have social media and we have people posting, particularly celebrities, posting photos of themselves naked and all of that. And we do have a big body image issue, but I don't...
Beyonce just posted a whole bunch of photos of her pregnant.
Exactly.
And they're beautiful, right?
They are beautiful. But you know, if you and I try and do that, they're not going to turn out quite like that. We don't have the same artistry. Listen, I'm not anyone to really argue with the researchers, but the last time I tried getting naked in a Home Depot, I just wound up, you know, kicked out and arrested. It did not end well for me, I'll tell you now.
Listen to this with Cliff and Sharon.
This is not going to be easy for you to hear, but it needs to be said.
Hey, voice ordering your favorite Starbucks drink is closer to reality. Get this now. Starbucks announced it's launching its My Starbucks Barista on its mobile app. Now, it's not talking to you. You talk to it.
Mm-hmm.
But how about when you're, you know, heading down to the Starbucks and you just speak into your app and it has it ready to go by the time you get there and you're not standing in those long, godforsaken lines that sometimes you have to when you go into a Starbucks. But now you can just do it on the app.
Yeah, maybe. I'm like... How will it deal with accents, honestly? Because I can tell you there's lots of times when you have to call, you know, a 1-800 number for service, whether it's an airline or whatever it is, and you have to, you know, use voice-activated messaging or whatever it is, you know, voice-activated stuff. And it doesn't deal with Australian accents. I wind up having to use a busted-ass American accent to try and get understood. And now the CEO of Starbucks has pledged to hire 10,000 Syrian refugees. Is it going to Does there have to be some sort of interaction between... I'm not even sure what a Syrian accent sounds like. Are you?
It's got to be able to recognize all of those. And here's the thing. It's an app on your phone. So whatever your phone has learned with, you know, whatever accent you may or may not have, that's how the app is going to interpret it. Now, I downloaded the beta test, and we've got an example of it actually playing and taking an order here. I can run that past you. This is a woman ordering a pretty complicated coffee order, but, you know, she has a pretty basic accent. So here it goes.
Double upside down macchiato, half decaf with room and a splash of cream in a grande cup.
And then there you go. And boom, it's done. I mean, it's that fast. So I thought I'd try it, but I'm going to try and order something extremely complicated and see if it can pull it off.
Okay, go.
Yeah, I'll have a venti, half whole milk, 1/4 1%, 1/4 non-fat, extra hot, split quad shots, no foam latte with whip, 2 packets of Splenda, 1 sugar in the raw, a touch of vanilla syrup, and 3 short sprinkles of cinnamon. Oops.
So much for the beta testing. I think you broke it.
It needs a little work. That's too bad because it was on a Samsung, too. That's probably why it exploded.
No.
No way.
Listen to this with Cliff and Sharon.
No freaking way. Right?
Hey, ever wonder what the beyond really means in Bed Bath & Beyond? Well, I think we found out because two guys went into a Bed Bath & Beyond in New Jersey last Monday afternoon. They hopped into bed that was being used to, you know, display sheets and pillows like they usually do at Bed Bath & Beyond. And they went way beyond what you should be doing in a department store.
Well, listen, you don't climb in the bed in Bed Bath & Beyond anyway. That's not appropriate behavior, but certainly indulging in a little afternoon delight. No.
No.
So they did that. Now, it's not clear if any other customer saw them, but an employee did, and he called the cops. They came and arrested the guys. But that, boys and girls, not the end of the adventure. No, not by any stretch. Because as the cops were booking them, they found out that one of the guys had scabies. Now, if you're not familiar with scabies, it's a parasite. It's very contagious. It burrows into your skin. It eats the tissue. It's a series. You never hear about scabies. So the officers who touched them were rushed off to the hospital for treatment. And in fact, the entire police department was evacuated so an exterminator could go in there and fumigate the whole premises.
Oh, my God.
Bed Bath & Beyond had to throw out the bed and the sheets that the guys had contaminated. And so now they're up on a slew of charges, obviously. The whole thing, right, that is the beyond in the Bed Bath & Beyond. It seems familiar, this story, to me. I feel like was it in Dr. Seuss at some point?
Dr. Seuss?
Was it never in Dr. Seuss? Do you have them in your rack? Do you have them on your back? If you have them, see the quack.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. For more, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Sharon, I'm not privy to the temperature of your feet in your bed when you're with your husband, Richard, but why in God's name is my wife's feet always freezing? I had to look this up, and apparently there's scientific reasons for this.
Well, it's not just feet. I think lots of times women feel colder. I mean, I know I'm at work and I'm wanting to turn the heat up, and every guy in the building's running around in a T-shirt or short sleeves or whatever, and I'm freezing. I'm ready to put a, you know, space blanket on or something. But you're right. There are scientific reasons why women are colder than men. And one of them is, and I didn't know this, women have higher core body temperatures than men, which I guess means that there's so much heat concentrated on the internal organs that the extremities like hands and feet are feeling cold. The blood isn't, you know, the heat isn't evenly distributed through the body, right? Yep. And if you're a woman and you're on birth control, even more so, you can just, you know, your core temperature is even higher. And here's another reason. Women have lower or slower metabolic rates than men. Now, metabolism, of course, is the rate you burn food to fuel the body, and as a result of that process, your body heats up. So men have a metabolic rate that's 23% higher than women's, and that sucks right there. That's an injustice. If it's not enough that we get our period every month, the fact that we burn food 23% slower and we put the weight straight on our bums and our hips, God, if I could have a little beef, that would be one of them right there.
Well, here's the other injustice. Let me ask you this. My wife's feet are cold. Your feet are probably cold. Why are you putting them on me?
Because you're nice and warm. Warming our little tootsies on your nice and warm body.
Stop.
Listen
to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
Have you ever stepped into a guitar store? There's a good chance you've heard something on this video that we're going to play for you. These are like famous guitar riffs. And honestly, don't you wish if you could pick up a guitar and just rip a couple of chords of some famous song? Wouldn't that be a cool experience?
Yeah, wouldn't it though? But you imagine if you work in a musical instrument store or something, a guitar store, people are going to come in and they're going to play. If they can play the guitar, there's going to be the most common things ever played in a guitar store. And here's what they are. Here's the top.
You want to try and guess these?
I'll play them and you try and guess them if you like.
Okay. Yep.
All right, so here we go. The most overplayed guitar store songs.
Okay. Oh, God. No idea.
Sweet Child of Mine.
Okay. Iron Man?
Yes! Well done.
Blackbird?
Yeah.
Oh, No idea.
Oh, seriously? Smells like Teen Spirit. Come on.
Okay. It just sounds like somebody tuning a guitar.
Yes, that is what it is. That's commonly done. Yep, yeah.
Okay, all right. Smoke on the Water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Classic. Who wouldn't want to dance to this? Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you identify that one?
That's the most played thing at a guitar store?
Yeah.
That sounds like me. I have no idea.
Exactly. It's complete nonsense. But they people just going in there and just, moving their fingers up and down.
Oh my
but
God,
they are
boy.
The top eight things that people play when they go into a guitar store.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. Subscribe to the podcast on Audioboom, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Pocket Cast, and iTunes. This has been a Bytes.com production.